Hello, how are you? We're in Sydney and we're catching up with you because we thought it would be fun to have a chat together, and we thought the idea of talking together was a really good opportunity to talk about collegiality. And
exactly. Hello, private practice success at Quite Confidence, finding proof.
Yes.
And everybody else there on Facebook.
We've got two cameras going, so we're going to be cross-eyed by the end of this.
We are. And we're here in the lovely Sydney. You can see the city centre there behind us at the APS Congress. And as per usual, when we're together, we get into mischief because we are wagging sessions right now to talk to all of you.
Absolutely.
Because we've got an important message to get out, right?
We have. And I think that's something that Gerda and I often forget, because we, as you might tell, kind of get along well together. And we forget that not everyone knows that we are not in competition. We're both mentors to mental health professionals. We're both private practice owners and we're both psychologists. And it's not a competition, it's not a running race, as I often say, and because Gerda would win anyway. I only run if I'm being chased by bears.
Okay. Yeah, and I'll win because I jog every morning. I would hope I would win, or I would be very disappointed.
So, I guess, you know, we both often talk about abundance mindset, and when we talk about that, you know, I guess this is abundance in action, you know, this collegiality, and we spur each other on and cheer each other on, and we've been sharing a table, selling our books. Gerda very kindly invited me to join her table, Abundance in Action, and has chased me half around the Congress facility all weekend. Yes, there's someone who wants to buy your book, get your ass over here.
Yes.
So when we talk about practice owners and we talk about referral sources and we talk about all of that stuff that could be seen as a competition, it's really important to remember that it's not. Mm. It's about you doing your best work, and sometimes you'll be the best person for the job because that's the work that needs to be done for that particular individual. Mm. And the next person does their best work, and that might be the job that's required on that given day.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm sure if you think about yourself in terms of experiences that you've had, you know, there are very often those attitudes of, oh, I can't ask for something or for support from another practice owner or even a clinician because, you know, they won't tell me because I might be perceived as competition, and there's that uncomfortableness. And sometimes we perceive other people as competition and they perceive us as competition. And I hear those comments so regularly that people make in various conversations, and I go, you know, yes, I'm always the first one to say we need to run ourselves like a business, right? Yes. And business people are very mindful of competition and all of that stuff. And then I go, this is very interesting. Psychologists will take that part of business management and apply it to themselves, but not all the other parts of it. You know, it's like they take the unhelpful part from traditional business in terms of, oh, you know, these are all our secrets and we can't tell anybody, but we don't want to run ourselves like a business and have the money mindset that we need to be an actual business. So be kind to yourself, you know, and really choose what you want to apply resourcefully, because, you know, there is really no competition in our industry if you think about it, right? We are all so different and unique in terms of how we present our stuff in session.
Yep.
How we do CBT, we can all go on the same CBT course. We're going to deliver it in a different way, right?
Yeah.
Because it's your individual personality, your flavor that comes through it, and that's going to resonate or not resonate with that client. You can do a manualized treatment and you might get different results as a result of who you are, right? That's just what I believe. I don't know, maybe some clever researcher can prove that wrong, but I think clients won't follow the process unless they click with you, and that's your personality, right? And there needs to be that alignment, which is why there's more than enough work for all of us.
That's it. And I think it's true, you know, no matter what part of your business you're talking about. So if you're talking about recruiting, or if you're talking about, you know, building your referral base and, you know, identifying who are your key referrers, your key referrers refer to other people as well as you. And oftentimes it's a relationship-based decision that they make. And I talk about that a lot, that business is all about relationships. And, you know, and that plays out in ways that you can't necessarily expect. So as many of you know, my practice is going through some staffing changes. And you know, other practice owners in Hobart that I collaborate with regularly, some of them have been approached by some members of my team for their next adventure and their next career move. And those practice owners, you know, they talk to me about these things and they check that, you know, professionally we're all good and that those relationships are maintained. And for me, I think that's beautiful. That's what you want. It's not a competition for staff. It's about what's right for each team member. If they need to move on, then that's the right thing for them to do at this time. And you'd want them going somewhere where they're going to be happy and they're going to be in a really professionally sound environment. So when competition isn't viewed as part of the equation, it allows room for that collegiality and for that professional respect and those relationships to last and to weather those bumpy storms when staff come and go. And I think that's a really important thing to remember in your relationships with other practice owners too.
Almost certainly. You know, it's almost like you've got that freedom to make the choice. You can either choose to come from a place of competition and then of course have the consequences of that. The consequences of being isolated, of being worried all the time, of being anxious, of having to be cagey and, you know, feel threatened all the time. I sure as hell don't want to feel like that. Okay.
Yeah.
I would much rather choose to come from a place of abundance and go, let's have a relationship, let's, you know, collaborate. And if you come from that place, you know, I just believe that you're gonna attract people that's similar to yourself. Like we've attracted one another, right? And if you do get that one person that, you know, is doing it maliciously, you'll quickly figure that out, right? But I can tell you majority of people aren't like that. Not the people in my Facebook communities, not in your Facebook communities. So it's really about just being who you are, giving yourself permission not to come from that fear base of, oh my goodness, I need to protect everything, and just going, you know what? Even if we put everything we know out there, I strongly believe this, you know, even if I put all my intellectual property out there, there's gonna be people that's gonna look at it and go, you know, shit, I don't want anything to do with it. There's gonna be people that look at it and go, oh, this is amazing, but they're never gonna do something about it. And there's people gonna go, it's amazing, they're gonna do something about it.
Yep.
But the thing is, half of people, even more, don't even implement this stuff. So there really is no threat because you know your stuff. You know that you will implement your strategies, your ideas, all of that type of stuff. Now, that makes me think of something that Gary Vee has said, because both of us are very avid Gary Vee followers. Yes. And if you don't know who that is, you better start Googling right now. Not right now, after the live stream. But he says that very often people ask him, you know, they want to pitch an idea to him.
Yep.
And then they want to ask him to sign a confidentiality agreement, and he refuses. Okay, and then he educates them on why he refuses to do that. And because he says, your ideas, any ideas that I put out there, you know what, the chances of somebody acting on it is very small.
Very small.
Because most people just don't implement. And he does that actively. He will not sign a confidentiality agreement because he wants people to have that abundance mindset, right? Because that's just the way to really get to that next level. If you're consistently going to be cagey, you cannot be expansive enough to get to the next level in order to grow your business, to develop your private practice, do your own branding, do, you know, write a book, do online programs, because you're too stuck.
Yep, that's exactly right. So when you're stuck in that mindset, and Gerda said before, you know, if you're stuck in that fear-based, competitive mindset and squirreling all your ideas away and not sharing, you very quickly will find yourself quite isolated professionally too. You're not sharing your ideas. No one's going to share them, theirs with you either. And it really is about reciprocal relationships in business. And I think that no matter what business you're in, whether it's mental health, or whether you could be a creative entrepreneur, whatever your business area is, the idea of collaborating and sharing, it helps you feel supported in the work that you're doing. It helps you realize that you're not as isolated as you thought you were. And it also helps you spark additional ideas, because conversations do that. You've probably noticed. So, you know, Gerda's got a great book around her ideas around how to develop and build and grow a successful private practice. very generous of her to provide that in a book, because of course there's lots of other programs that Gerda runs, and you know, anyone can just grab hold of the book and that's the end of that.
Yes.
But you know, that's it's a generous thing to do, put time into writing a book and sharing those ideas. And so I think that when we hide behind competitiveness and we hide behind fear, we stop ourselves from growing further. And I think that's something that we forget, that competition actually doesn't grow you, it shuts you down.
Yeah, it's so true. I so believe that.
Yep.
And you know, for those of you that, you know, go, but there's always gonna be that one person. But you know, but even if there's that one person that does the wrong thing towards you, you know what? I just believe that what you need to do then is just release them. Because the universe takes care of them, karma takes care of them, okay? And you know, that's their problem. I need to be able to sleep at night. You know, I want to be comfortable, and I do not want a life filled with fear and constant worry about what if somebody figures this stuff out and does as well as I do. Well, what if they do? That's amazing for them, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's room enough for everybody.
Exactly. Because, yeah, you know what, at the end of the day, especially as helping professionals, but even in other professions, because I know Tess works with a lot of business owners across a variety of professions, you know, you do this stuff for a reason, you know, and what is those values? And a lot of the times it's to make a difference, right? It is, yeah, to help people in some way, even if you are a engineer building stuff to help people in some way. That's what it is all about at the end of the day. And the more we share, the more we work together, the more we collaborate, it just makes it so much easier to help people.
This is so true.
And yeah, so much more fun.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
How much fun do we have?
We have too much fun.
Like,
I'm actually feeling really tired today because we do tend to have too much fun.
Yes. We will not say what time we went to bed last night. I just think it's so much more fun sharing celebrations when you achieve something, you know, really having fun with it. When I achieve stuff, like having somebody that gets it, you,
yeah,
know, that you can share your wins with, that you can share your challenges with, without having to go, what can I tell them? What can't I tell them? It's like, geez, that's just too hard.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I don't want to do that. Then I'd rather just not have that relationship if I need to consistently have my guard up in terms of what can and can't I say.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, like, why would you want to do that? It's just crazy to me.
No, and look, I've got a really, you know, some of you will know that I'm launching a graduate program in my practice. And I was talking with another practice owner in Sydney, or from Sydney, and she and I were having the same idea at around about the same time. And we went, oh my God, we're both thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, instead of going, oh, well, we'll shut down and we won't share thoughts on it, we're now collaborating on how can we bounce ideas around together so that we both grow and we both develop this idea in a way that's going to be successful, because two heads are better than one, always. You know, I don't have all the answers.
Exactly.
No one really does. So, you know, sharing your ideas and bouncing them around and brainstorming the tricky bits is really, really beneficial.
Yeah.
You know, what business you're in.
No, I agree. So the challenge is on.
Challenge is on. Collaborate. Be collegial. Share your ideas. And don't be afraid to ask other business owners for support. So if you need a mentor, whether it doesn't have to be me and Gerda, but find a mentor that you feel is someone that you can relate to help you develop your ideas, whether it's in your business or whether it's something to do with your outside interests or where, you know, whatever it is, finding somebody that you can share your ideas with. It can be a peer. It doesn't have to be someone at a senior level to you. So valuable.
Yeah, I really think another important message, now that you've mentioned that, is to give yourself permission to accept help. You know, it's so often that we, especially when you're a high functioning person, when you're driven, when you have that entrepreneurial business, you know, drive and motivation behind you, it's somehow like we've got these high standards for ourselves. Like, it's like, of course I should be able to do this by myself, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I've got all these qualifications, or I've been running a business already for so long. It's that expectation that, oh, I should be coping. I should, which is not a good word.
Yeah, should's a dirty word.
Yeah, very dirty. I should be coping. And just to, sometimes I go, people just need to stop struggling. You know, just give yourself that permission to go, hang on, I can actually ask somebody for help.
Yeah, exactly. So, hey, Kath. And this is, you know, many of you know I work in perinatal mental health. That's the clinical area I work in. And the one of the key messages we give new parents is that, you know, this is a major developmental milestone, becoming a parent, and accept all offers of help and stop being a martyr, for want of a better word.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it all yourself, and you don't have to know how to do it all. And it's the same when you're becoming a business owner, that you might be really, really good at what you do clinically or artistically or whatever it is that you're working in. That doesn't automatically mean you know how to run a business.
Yeah.
So accepting all opportunities for help and for resources and for support and for encouragement is very important.
And we've got a comment from Kim. Kim says it's vulnerable to put it out there that you have areas of weakness in competence. It is, Kim, and I think, you know, very often is because we, especially in my community, is helping professionals. We're so used to be the one doing the helping and being the helper. It's really hard being the one to go, I'm putting up my
hand.
Can I
have some help, please?
Yes, yes. But I can tell you, if you can just give yourself permission to do it, it's actually the most empowering thing you can do. Because the change that can happen in an instance when somebody gives you a little piece of advice that changes everything, or a little thing that breaks through a mental block you've had, that just changes anything. You know, sometimes you've got these big problems and issues, but the thing that changes it is simple, and we're sometimes looking for something really big, and that's where a mentor, an outside person comes in, because they look at what's happening with fresh eyes and they go, oh, well, that's what you need to do. And it's easy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Having a second set of eyes can be really, really useful.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Goodness.
So, okay. So, hey, Jen, welcome. So I think, you know, for Gerda and I, we've been, you know, working together for quite a while now. And I mean, you all know that Gerda is my mentor. She's also my friend.
Yes.
And you know, and we do get along, we do have a lot of fun, but we also run ideas past each other, and we do, you know, if I'm going to put my hand up for help, you know, Gerda is certainly, you know, has coached me very well to know when to ask for help. And that's what I have always done with students in my practice, is taught them that they must know when to ask for help, that they don't, I don't want cowboys in my practice. And so I think sometimes we have to take on board the messages that we'll pass on to less experienced individuals and go, hang on, am I trying to be a cowboy here? Am I trying to know it all and do it all without much guidance? So yeah, you have to make yourself vulnerable, Kim, but vulnerability is okay. And I sort of pick up on that weakness and incompetence. It's just not knowing. That's not weakness and incompetence. It's just not knowing. And you can't
good point.
Know. You can't know everything. And I don't know everything. And I don't want to know everything. I love the fact that there's still more for me to learn. So it's just about knowing when to ask for help or when to run an idea past somebody else to get that feedback.
Yes, yes. And I sure as hell don't know everything either. Which is why whenever a Medicare problem pops up in my practice, I go, I'm sure I know the answer. However, I'm going to run past the expert. Tess. And that leads us to a very important announcement. What a good segue.
Oh, you're good. Okay, so there's been a bit of a dare on, which was for me to launch my Medicare training program.
I wonder who set that challenge to you.
It may have been egged on after a couple of drinks last night too.
Yes.
So, okay, so I have talked about this before. Many of you have already downloaded my Medicare guide, my top 10 tips for Medicare and surviving Medicare and better access. If you haven't downloaded it yet, if you go to my Quiet Confidence website and look in the store, so I think it's quietconfidence.com.au/shop.
Yep.
And you will find my Medicare download, and it's a free download. It's top 10 tips. Have a look at that. It just helps you know what to do to remain compliant. Okay. Now, on the back of that, I have been promising all year and deliberately waiting till this end of the year so that we're closer to when people are going to be worried about the calendar year transition, because that's when I get the most questions about Medicare. So I am going to be launching a program in November, so we've got a little bit of time. But I want to make it really clear that there will most likely be a limit on the number of people able to be participating in this round, in this live round of the training. Now, the training may well then be available for you to purchase later, but not as a live program.
Which is best.
Program.
So you want to get into
the live program so you can have your answers, question, your questions answered by me live throughout the program. So it will launch November. I'll be talking much more about it as we get closer to November. So if you're curious about that, please send me an email, tess.crawley@tesscrawley.com.au, and put the Medicare training as the subject line for your email, and you'll be among the first to be advised of when that program is going to launch. It will be priced at $97. And
the mentor thinks that's way too cheap, but anyway, yes. It's going to be amazing. My name's already first on the list. Let's just be clear there.
Until you charge her double.
Well, I'm going to do it, and Chelsea's going to do it by principle. So there you go, double done.
Double done. So the program will run over a couple of weeks. So I haven't decided how many yet. I'm thinking roughly 4, maybe 5 weeks. So you'll actually get quite immersive training over a little period of time to really have the time to pick up on what I know about Medicare and then think about how that applies to your practice and get more questions asked as they come to mind. So it won't just be a one-off smash and grab. There'll actually be, you know, an ongoing conversation during the course of the program.
Yeah.
So if you're interested, shoot me an email through and you'll be on that hot little list of first to be advised.
Yes, so Tess has promised, because I don't want to miss out.
What have I promised now?
She has promised that before she launches it online, she will email people on the list to say, this is your first opportunity to get in. So get your name on that list by emailing her. She'll send you out an email a day or so before to say, it's open, you know, get your butts in there. A sign up a day before, you'll get 24-hour notice before she tells the rest of the world, because I can tell you it's going to be very, very popular. Because for me personally, wanting to do this training is, although I have a pretty thorough knowledge, it's just like, it's just check all the details, right? And I would much rather do it in a fun way, in a program with other practice owners, because I just love it, than having to troll through all the bloody documents and websites and all of that stuff. I do not have the time for that. I don't know who does, but that's not a good use of my time as a practice owner.
And let me tell you, having tried to corral all the information about Medicare, it is uncorralable, basically. There's a lot of information on the internet and a lot of information in conversations on Facebook and where else that is incorrect information, outdated information, misguided information. So there's a lot of fear around Medicare as well. So my aim is to make it very, very simple, very digestible, and sticking to just the core principles of what you need to do, and having also an understanding about the audit process as well, like what's a red flag for getting audited, what do they do when they audit you, things like that. So you'll know that you're going to be coming out of that program feeling a little bit more secure in your knowledge of what you need to do, why you do it, and how you incorporate that into your business structure as well is an important part of the program. I teach you about how I make sure that all the reporting obligations are done in an efficient manner so that it's not too time consuming in your business. And then you can sleep at night knowing that if you're audited tomorrow, you're probably going to be okay.
And it's so interesting because that's a big deal, hey?
Yep.
That constant fear that people have about, oh my goodness, what if I get audited? Oh my goodness, what if I done the wrong thing and I'm going to get in trouble? And I think a lot of what we do is about taking fear away, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's really hard to run a business, a practice, if you're in a state of fear the whole time. And just thinking how unhealthy that is, both mentally and physically. So even when it comes to the whole competitive abundance thing that we've just spoken about, people's thoughts and worries around Medicare, there's so much fear in our industry. And both of us are just so eager to just get rid of as much of that as possible so that we can enjoy what we do as practice owners. Because the less fear there are, the more joy there are, the more abundance, the more people we can help. It always comes back to our value of why we do this thing, right?
Yeah.
And if you've got all your emotional energy being drained by that state of fear, you do not have the emotional energy to build your practice, help more people, and also be there for your kids and for your family and for your community and all of that type of thing.
Yeah. I'm not sure if many of you realize or appreciate fully, Gerda and I both have young children, and we both run our businesses within school, pretty much within a school hours framework. And I've often joked about I should write a book called The School Hours Entrepreneur. And it is possible to run a large, busy practice. That's not to say the only work I ever do on my business is within school hours. That would be a lie. But in terms of being able to be present for my children, you know, you have to have efficiencies. And so again, you know, the Medicare training program is part of that. And what Gerda offers is also very much around those concepts of efficiencies within your business. So you've got more time for you and your family, in addition to having a successful, viable business.
Exactly. I agree. Wow. That was good. Do you have any questions on your side? I'll just check here. Hey, Natasha, thanks for joining. Yes, it's Anne. One amazing backdrop.
Yes.
Hey, Kate.
Hey, Donna. Donna's from America.
Really? Excellent.
Yeah,
hey, Donna.
Glad to have you, Donna. Hey, Kat. Hey, Jan and Monica. And Kath's very keen to hear about the themes of audits. Hey,
ooh,
Sylvia.
Yes.
I'm catching up with Sylvia this afternoon.
Oh,
and yes, themes around audits. Yes, it's not as scary as you might think. And there are some really obvious traps that people can fall into, which I'll certainly be teaching people how to avoid those.
Yes, can't wait. So be sure to get that email done right now, because it's going to be an order of when you've sent your email. There's going to be only so many people in the group. So send that through. We're going to finish off.
Yes.
We're done talking. We need to get up to other mischief right now.
Yes, we do. Lots of it too. Thank you very much, all of you, for joining us live this afternoon from the APS Congress here in Sydney. We have been busy beavers, and we'll no doubt talk to you again very, very soon.
Most definitely. And remember, as always, all you need to do is say yes to your very own ultimate level 5 private practice, and you need to find the confidence and find the proof.
Finding proof. Anyway, I'll show you. I'm not joking.
Did I get it wrong?
You threw me. I will talk to you all very soon.
Yes.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye.